بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ما يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة دلالة وكل دلالة في النار. Today's lesson, inshallah, is just going to be a short lesson, and it's from one of the chapters towards the end of the book, the end of Kitab al-Tawheed, and this is chapter number 65. And Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, has entitled this chapter "Babun la yustashfa'u billahi." على أحد من خلقه. Translation of which is that chapter. Allah is not to be intercession is not to be sought by way of Allah upon anyone from His creation. Allah is not to be sought as an interceder upon anyone from His creation. Meaning that we don't make Allah as one who does the act of intercession on our behalf upon anyone else from the creation. This is the meaning of that chapter heading. And the Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan, he gives just a brief commentary upon this chapter heading and what relates to it. So he says, first of all, Al-Istishfa' that which is mentioned in the chapter heading, this means to seek intercession. Istishfa' this means to seek the intercession, seek intercession from someone. And ash-shafa'a refers to the act of the action of playing like an intermediate role between a person who has a need and between the one who can fulfill that need. Right? This is the meaning of shafa'a. It refers to the action of a person in mediating between the one who has a need and the one who is able to fulfill that need. This is the meaning of ash-shafa'a. And al-istishfa' is the action of seeking shafa'a, seeking someone's mediation. This is al-istishfa'. And the Shaykh says that the ruling upon al-istishfa', the ruling upon it is in accordance with the thing that is being sought. The thing that is being sought. If the thing that is being sought is goodness, then intercession regarding it is goodness, and it contains a reward. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in an ayah, مَنْ يَشْفَعْ شَفَاعَةً حَسَنَةً يَكُنْ لَهُ نَصِيبٌ مِّنْهَا. That whoever made an intercession that was good, then he will have a portion thereof, meaning a portion of the goodness thereof. And likewise, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِشْفَعُوا تُؤْجَرُوا. That intercede and you will be granted reward. And as for when the shafa'a, the mediation, is regarding an issue which is haram, then of course the ruling upon it is that it is haram. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يَشْفَعْ شَفَاعَةً سَيِّئَةً يَكُنْ لَهُ كِفْلٌ مِّنْهَا. That again, that anyone who makes an intercession that is evil, then again he will have a burden thereof. He will have a share of the blame and the sin thereof. Like, for example, the Shaykh illustrates, like, for example, a person who mediates on behalf of someone who has fallen into either a zina, adultery, fornication, or who was stolen, or who was consumed alcohol or something, and then he wants to mediate in order that the punishment, the prescribed punishment upon such people, is dropped. Right now, this, you know, so he wants to nullify and to drop this a prescribed punishment. So he goes to the judge, and you know, he goes to the judge on behalf of the one who's guilty, and he tries to intercede and mediate, and he wants him to abandon establishing this prescribed punishment upon that person after it's been affirmed and established that the person obviously did fall into that particular crime. So here, this type of mediation, this type of intercession is haram. And the Messenger said in hadith that with respect to the hudud which are between you, then pardon each other. But as for that which reaches me of any prescribed punishment, then that becomes obligatory. And then in another hadith, the Messenger said that when a prescribed punishment reaches the ruler, meaning that when an issue reaches the ruler, or you know, when there's an issue in which the prescribed punishments are applicable, and that then becomes the knowledge of the ruler, then may Allah curse the one who intercedes and the one who is interceded for. Meaning, the one who comes to the ruler and tries to mediate and to try to have the ruler drop the punishment, so he is cursed because he is the mediator, he is the shafi', the interceder. And likewise, the one who is interceded for, he too is cursed. Right? The one who obviously is seeking this removal. So this is as it relates, the Shaykh says, to the shafa'ah that takes place amongst the creation. So far, we've been discussing the mediation or the intercession that takes place between people. Now, as for when a person seeks to make Allah as an interceder with someone from the creation, which is the subject of this chapter, then this is a great evil. It's a great evil. Because in essence, when a person is seeking Allah as an interceder, he is making Allah inferior. He's making Allah inferior to the one to the one who is being interceded with. Right? In essence, the one who is being interceded with is in essence great, according to this, would be greater than, in the view of such a person, than the one who is doing the interceding. Right? This is what it means. So when a person, for example, he seeks the intercession, so he wants Allah to intercede on his behalf with someone from the creation, then that means that this created being who's being interceded with, then he is greater than Allah. And of course, this is no doubt ascribing a deficiency to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's something that is damaging to a person's tawheed. And then in this regard, Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab brings a hadith from Jubair bin Mut'am radiyallahu anhu, who said that a Bedouin came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and he said, "O Messenger of Allah, the people have perished and the children are hungry and the wealth and the possessions have perished. So seek rain on our behalf from your Lord. Ask your Lord for rain. For verily, we intercede, we ask Allah, we seek Allah's intercession from you. We seek Allah's intercession from you." Meaning we ask Allah to intercede with you. And we seek your intercession with Allah. Right? So this Bedouin Arab, he said it both ways. That we seek Allah to intercede with you on our behalf, and we seek you to intercede with Allah on our behalf. Both ways. So then, the Messenger, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, "Subhanallah, subhanallah, how free is Allah from all imperfections and deficiencies." And then he continued glorifying and praising Allah in this manner up until it could be seen, the effects of that could be seen on the faces of the Sahaba. Meaning, they could see that he disliked it, and you could see on the faces of the Sahaba their perception that he didn't like it. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, "Woe be to you, Do you not know who is Allah? Verily, the affair of Allah is mighty, is greater than that, meaning greater than that which you've just said. For verily, Allah is not to be sought as an interceder with anyone from His creation. And then, to the end of the hadith. This is reported by Abu Dawud. So, concerning this hadith, the Shaykh Salih Fawzan, he says that in this hadith it says, Ja'a A'rabiyun, Arabi, and Al-Arabi is a person who lives in the desert. And the Shaykh says that predominantly what you find with people who live in such circumstances is that they have ignorance, that they're generally ignorant. And then this Arabi said, Nahikat al-Anfus, that the souls have perished, meaning that the souls have become weak, the people have become weak, and the children have become hungry, and the wealth has perished, meaning the possessions, meaning like the livestock and the animals and whatever have perished. And he's referring here to the fact that the rain has been withheld, that there hasn't been any rain, that there's been a drought. And because living in the desert is really sustained by the fact that Allah sends rains from time to time, and the fact that rain is something that no person can be without, you know, neither a person who lives in the desert nor a person who lives outside of the desert. All of them are in need of rain. And so if the rain is withheld, then the people will obviously be harmed. And then when the rain actually descends and Allah sends the rain and Allah sends blessing therein, then the people benefit from it and they become refreshed and, you know, enlivened. And so the rains have goodness for the servants. And no one can withhold the rain except for Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And He doesn't withhold it except on account of the sins and disobedience. And then the Shaykh brings an ayah, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَلَّا وِاسْتَقَامُوا عَلَى الطَّرِيقَةِ لَأَسْقِيْنَاهُمْ مَا أَنْ غَدَقَى. The meaning, rough translation of which is that if, you know, if they had remained firmly upon the path, or remained, had istiqam upon the path, remained upon that path, then we would have most certainly sustained and provided them and nourished them with water. With the water. And so this shows that Allah is in control of the rain. He withholds it because of the sins of the people. And then this Bedouin, he said, فَاسْتَسْقِ لَنَا رَبَّكَ, that ask your Lord for rain. Ask your Lord for rain on our behalf. And this was the way of the Sahaba in general. You find that whenever the rain would be withheld, or, you know, either it was delayed, meaning the rain didn't come upon its the time that it normally came at, so either it was delayed or it would be withheld, then what they would do is that they would go to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and seek rain, ask him to, you know, ask for rain. And al-istisqa, then this means to seek to have one's thirst removed, you know, to seek water. And al-istisqa, this action of seeking rain, is a sunnah that is very old. Because we know that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he sought water for his people, and likewise Suleiman, he made istisqa for his people, and similarly the Prophet Muhammad, our Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, he made istisqa for his ummah. So to make istisqa, to seek rain, to seek this water, is a legislated affair. And how would this happen in the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? It would happen in that the Sahaba would come whilst he was alive, and they would seek from him that he should supplicate to Allah that he send down the rain. And the Prophet ﷺ would respond to them, and he would, you know, do that for them. And sometimes they would, sometimes the Prophet ﷺ, he would make the supplication whilst he was sitting amongst his companions. And sometimes when they asked him, he would make the supplication during the Jummah khutbah. He would ask for the descending of the rain. And sometimes he would actually go out to the place of prayer, in the desert, in the open space, and then he would pray, he would lead the people in prayer with the Salatul Istisqa. And then he would make a khutbah, and in that khutbah he would call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, to sustain them with rain, and then Allah would send them rain. And this was how it was during the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He would do it in these different ways. And then after the passing away of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, they used to then, the Sahaba, the people in general, they would then come to the righteous caliphs, the Khulafa al-Rashideen. They would come to Umar, for example, and seek from him that he call upon Allah. And Umar would seek, would request Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that he should call upon Allah, because he was someone who was close to the Messenger of Allah. And likewise, the Muslims in all times, they request their scholars and the leaders over them, and likewise from the righteous people amongst them, that they call upon their Lord and ask for Allah to send down rain. And this is a sunnah which is established. And this is how it is, how it is done. So this Sahabi, or this Arabi, sorry, this Bedouin, when he came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and he made this request from the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, that, you know, he seek, that he ask for rain for them. This was an affair that was well known. It was an affair that was known and was established, that this is what would take place, that the Sahaba would come and, you know, make this request. However, up until this point, what this Bedouin has said so far, there's nothing wrong with it. And what he's done, there's nothing wrong with it. However, what he didn't restrict himself just to this request. He then added to this a phrase. And this phrase, he said, فَإِنَّنَا نَسْتَشْفَعُ بِاللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ. And this word here is a rejected and an evil word, because it means that we seek Allah as an interceder with you. We ask for Allah to intercede with you. Because what they're doing is that they are making Allah as an interceder with the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. And we know that the person who intercedes is of a lower level than the person who is being interceded with. Like, for example, when a minister goes to his king in order to intercede on behalf of the people, who is the one who is superior? The one who is doing the mediating between the two parties, or the one who is being mediated with? Right? It's clear that the one who is doing the mediation is inferior to the one who is being mediated with or interceded with. And so this shows that this is really a deficiency, this is ascribing a deficiency, and it is a belittlement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And As for the final part, when he said, وَنَسْتَشْفِعُ بِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ, then this is, the meaning of this is, and we seek you as an interceder with Allah. And this part, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with this, because because during the time of the Prophet ﷺ, there's no harm in asking, in seeking the Messenger as an interceder with Allah in the issue of asking for rain. And because this was an affair that was known, and the Messenger can be an interceder with Allah for the people whilst he is alive. And similarly, the same principle applies to seeking the supplication of anyone from the righteous people who are alive. This is in essence seeking the intercession, seeking them to intercede for you with Allah on your behalf when you ask them to make supplication for you, and while they are alive. There's no problem with this. So then, when the Messenger alayhi salam, he heard this, he then said what he said. You know, he began to glorify Allah from this belittlement and from this ignorance which this Bedouin fell into regarding the right of Allah. So he began to say Subhanallah, Subhanallah, which means frees Allah from these imperfections or these deficiencies. And this is from the habit of the Prophet alayhi salam, in that whenever he would make inkar, whenever he would show rejection upon something, he would say Subhanallah. Whenever he disapproved of something that was evil, something that was bad, he would show rejection of it by way of saying Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Whenever something would amaze him, then he would say Subhanallah, or he would say Allahu Akbar. And then the narrator of the hadith says that he kept saying this He kept saying subhanAllah up until that could be seen upon the faces of his companions. Meaning that when the Prophet alayhi salam, he became affected by this statement and he became angry, then they too became angry on account of the anger of the Prophet alayhi salam. Right? Because he showed disapproval, he became angry, then they too felt some anger and they became affected in the same way as the messenger became affected, alayhi salatu wasalam, and then this began to be, this was visible upon their faces. So then he said, wayhaka, meaning this is a word meaning woe be to you, it's like a word which implies that may, you know, some hardship come upon you, you know. And then he said, do you know what is Allah? Do you know who is Allah? What is Allah? And then this statement here is like a form of rejection from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and it implies an explanation of the ignorance of this Bedouin Arab who said what he said regarding Allah. And then he continued and said that the affair of Allah is greater than that. Verily, Allah is not to be sought as an interceder with anyone from his creation. And so then, by way of this, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he obviously showed rejection against this, and he purified his Lord from the, you know, from what this ignorant person had said, and you know, from what this ignorant person had done and said, and you know, he had done what was obligatory with respect to glorifying Allah and venerating Allah. So in this hadith, then, there are a number of benefits that we can take, as the Shaykh then goes on to conclude with some beneficial issues. The first issue is that the benefit that we take is, first of all, the hadith contains an evidence for the legislated nature of seeking the rain, the making the dua for rain, or seeking making al-istisqa when the rain is either delayed or it's withheld. And this is an established sunnah. And we know that seeking the supplication of the righteous people who are alive and present amongst us, that, you know, that they call upon Allah for the Muslims, there's no harm in this. As for the dead person, then he's not to be called upon for anything, neither in terms of shafa, neither in terms of intercession, nor in terms of normal supplication. And the evidence for this is clearly that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when the Prophet alayhi salam, when he passed away, they wouldn't go to his grave and stand there, and you know, whenever they would be in need of anything, they didn't used to do this. They didn't used to go to his grave. They didn't used to go to him in the same manner that they would go to him when he was alive, and you know, and seek a supplication when he was alive. But rather, they turned instead to Al-Abbas, who was the uncle of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, because he was alive and he was present amongst them, and they requested him to call upon Allah on their behalf for them. Second issue is, in the hadith there is evidence to show the rejection of the munkar. Right, to reject the evil is what is contained in this hadith, because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he rejected what this A'rabi said, and he didn't remain silent. So this shows the obligation of rejecting the evil. The third benefit from the hadith is, it shows the prohibition of asking Allah to be an interceder with anyone from his creation, and that this is something that damages a person's tawheed. It diminishes or causes a person's tawheed to be deficient, and it harms a person's aqidah. And likewise, it contains evil mannerisms towards Allah. It's su'ul adab. It's having bad mannerisms and evil behavior towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's for this reason that the author included, you know, he devoted a specific chapter to this in this book, because this is what it implies. It's like evil mannerisms with Allah, and it's a deficiency in tawheed. The fourth affair is that in the hadith is an evidence to show that to seek the supplication of a living person and to seek istishfa, to seek his intercession of a person who is living, is something that is permissible. Because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he didn't show rejection upon this Bedouin Arab when he said at the end of his statement, وَنَسْتَأْشْفَعُ بِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ, that we seek you as an interceder with Allah. So he didn't show rejection against him for saying this. Rather, he only showed rejection against him for saying the previous statement, which related to asking Allah to be an interceder with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But as for, in general, seeking the dua and seeking the intercession of a person who is living and present with present amongst you, then there's no harm in that. And this, as we know, was the practice of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu with the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam and with others whenever they had a need for that. The fifth issue is the legislated nature of teaching an ignorant person. Teaching an ignorant person, because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he taught this ignorant person after he showed rejection against him and after he notified him of the mistake that he had fallen into. And so he obviously taught him in order to give this person a direction and in order that he may not fall into it and avoid it in the future. And the seventh point is that the hadith also contains the legislated nature of making tasbih or takbir whenever a munkar takes place, or whenever an evil affair takes place, or when an affair which is ajeeb, when an affair which is amazing or strange occurs. It shows that it's legislated to say Subhanallah or Allahu Akbar whenever such issues arise and we witness them. As opposed to what is done by the other people who tend to just like the remarks that the kuffar make when they see something strange or amazing, or when evil is witnessed, then they make remarks, or they make calamity, they make remarks or things like that, or they show displeasure or whatever. Then this is opposed to what those people do, who the people who imitate the kuffar. Rather, we say Subhanallah and we say Allahu Akbar in such affairs. And that's the end of the discussion of this chapter, and inshallah we'll stop the lesson there, and we'll continue with another chapter in the next lesson next week, inshallah ta'ala.